Chapter 9. Dial P for Princess.
Belly, will you call everyone into the Great Hall in half an hour? I ask, standing up. Lawrence, Minerva, and the whole royal court. I'd like to hold a meeting.
Belly's eyes bug out.
A meeting? She repeats. Shouldn't you ask Lawrence about that first?
I shake my head. I'm the Princess of Bog. For now, anyway. So I'm calling a meeting. Belly nods, looking impressed. As she should, I can be very impressive.
What's your plan, Abby? Jonah asks me, intrigued.
You'll see, I say. He shrugs and jumps into the pool. Prince splashes in after him. I go upstairs to my room and change into a dress and my bog crown. Then I head down to the Great Hall and take a seat at the table. A minute later, Lawrence comes rushing in, glasses askew.
What's this about a meeting?
He demands. Let's wait until everyone gets here, I say. Lawrence frowns. He's definitely used to calling the shots. Minerva comes in, eyebrows pulled together.
This is most unusual, she whispers to Lawrence. Tell me about it, he whispers back with a scowl.
Let's give her a chance, Minerva says.
The maids are whispering among themselves. Soon, all the ministers of the royal court enter the room, murmuring together. Jonah and Prince slip into the back, still wet from the pool.
Good. Everyone is here, I say, standing up. While I have loved serving as your princess, I'm afraid I can't remain in my role. I have to leave Bog to go home. But first, I would like to help you find a new princess, the right princess. And I've been thinking. Feeling a pea under your mattress is not the way to tell if someone is a princess.
Sure it is, Lawrence says. Princesses are extremely delicate. That's why they can feel a tiny pea under 100 mattresses.
I raise an eyebrow. Lawrence, no offense, but that really doesn't make sense. Want to know why? He narrows his eyes.
Why?
Everyone is staring at me, waiting for my response. I square my shoulders.
Because you don't want a delicate princess. You want a tough princess. The Princess of Bog should be able to have no trouble falling asleep on a pea. She should have no trouble falling asleep on an apple, or a pumpkin, or a watermelon. She should be adaptable. She should be able to sleep on anything. She should be able to sleep in a tree, or in a rowboat in a swamp.
Lawrence and Minerva glance at each other. The maids are whispering. The other members of the court look aghast.
You want a princess who is strong, I go on, who is smart. Not someone who sits around all day getting fanned by maids, but someone who is tough enough to protect her kingdom. You want a princess who isn't bothered by a tiny little pea.
Lawrence bangs his fist on the table.
That's ridiculous.
It is not, I say sternly.
Jonah raises his hand.
I just want to say that I would totally want to sleep in a tree.
I wink at him. I love how he has my back, even though I would never let him sleep in a tree.
If we don't use the pea test, Minerva says, then how do we find our princess?
Luckily, I have an answer for that.
We have a different kind of test, a contest. We'll invite all the young girls in the land to compete to see who will be the next princess, like Miss America, but without the beauty pageant part.
A contest to pick a princess? Minerva says. I've never heard of such a thing. Jonah raises his hand again.
Isn't it also kind of like Purim? He asks.
Yes, I exclaim. Good thinking, Jonah.
Jonah beams. He's clearly been paying attention in Hebrew school.
What's Purim? Lawrence asks.
It's a Jewish holiday that falls in the springtime, I explain. See, in the story of Purim, the king, Ahasuerus, was looking for a new queen. He got all the girls in the land to come and compete, and Esther won. There's a lot more to the story about how Esther winds up saving the day and defeating the evil Haman.
So what qualities was that king looking for? Minerva asks.
Beauty. But we're skipping that part. This is not, I repeat, not going to be a beauty pageant.
So what are we testing for? Lawrence asks. If we're not testing for beauty or extreme delicacy.
Seriously? We're testing for being a good leader, I cry. My brother raises his hand again.
Oh, I have a good idea. Let's say I accidentally throw a spitball at one of the girls. A real princess shouldn't freak out, especially if it's just an accident.
I stifle a giggle.
Right. So what you mean is that a real princess doesn't rattle easily.
Exactly, Jonah says. She'd be...
Belly whispers so low, I can't really hear her. What? I say to her. She steps forward.
She'd be brave?
Yes, I say, clapping my hands. Brave! You know, Esther was brave, too. That's how she saved the day. Lawrence doesn't look convinced. He stands with his arms crossed over his chest.
A real princess should nap twice a day and have a maid blow on her hot cocoa at bedtime so she doesn't risk burning her tongue.
We don't want a princess who can't handle her own hot cocoa, I say. We need her to be strong. We should test for strength.
Well, I think a true princess would be loyal, Minerva says, raising her voice, to her royal staff and her subjects, the people she rules.
Agreed, I say.
What else?
She should be nice, Jonah says.
And smart, Minerva adds.
Kind, the super tall maid calls out. And extremely delicate,
Lawrence adds. All eyes turn to Lawrence. Again with the delicate?
Lawrence, I say. With all due respect, a true princess is a leader. Leaders are not extremely delicate.
Lawrence snorts.
I've never met a princess who wasn't delicate.
Well, I have, I say, thinking back to all the fairy tales I've visited. I've met many, and they're awesome.